Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Serving Jesus, Bible Bits from Matthew. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 to 9, True Worship. How many people in a worship service are really worshiping? There can be many mental distractions during worship and prayer. Let's look at our text in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 to 9. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus called people hypocrites who came into his presence, mouthing words of praise, but whose minds and hearts were preoccupied. What about you? Your body's in the worship service, but is your mind? Where do your thoughts carry you during worship? Personal or family problems, business issues. If worship is distracted away from the Lord, it becomes a waste of time. Bodies may be in the worship center, but the hearts are far away. This is hypocrisy, in the words of Jesus. How seriously does God take the matter of worshiping him? Well, look at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The Old Testament records harsh judgment for those who worship carelessly. Aaron's sons in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. God killed them for hypocritical worship. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense in it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Uzzah thought it was no big deal to touch the Ark of the Covenant. Notice what happened to the Bethshemites in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Then he struck the men of Bethshemesh because they had looked into the Ark of the Lord. He struck 50,000 and 70 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Bethshemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us? God's people need holy fear in their heart. The more irreverence for God's presence creeps into your heart, the less reverence is practiced. And irreverence increases until you're thoughtless and careless when approaching worship. You think that your thoughts are beyond judgment, but Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 clearly say, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. If your heart is not involved in the worship, if your mind is not present, if your thoughts are not captive to obedience, true worshipers can't wait to get to church. True worshipers don't need entertainment to lure them. David Wilkerson said, "We don't get spiritual credit just for planting our body in a pew once a week for an hour. Why do we get so distracted in worship and in prayer?" Well, I want to suggest to you three reasons, among many, but three reasons. First, because of failure to bring your thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We have a natural tendency to wander and drift away. An invasion of thoughts about everything imaginable. Genesis chapter 15, verses 7 to 11. "Then he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and to inherit it.' And he said, 'Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?' And he said to him, 'Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away." Vultures came down on the carcasses. Thoughts can attack our worship like that. We need to drive them away. All of them. Work, family, problems, difficulties. There are so many thoughts. Every thought must be brought into captivity. It's a war. You are called to resist the flesh, to focus your mind. And then, like Elijah's experience, God's fire will consume your holy sacrifice. Second, it's because of a failure to resist Satan's attacks. James chapter 4, verse 7 and the beginning part of verse 8. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." You'll be attacked by Satan in worship. Fight him, as you don't know what business of God he's against at that very moment. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "And then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?'" Satan will do anything to disrupt pure, dedicated worship. Why? Because he fears it. So expect fiery darts to come. How can you worship? You hypocrite. You're a phony. You sinned yesterday. You can't praise the Lord. You're unworthy. Others may be worthy, but you failed. Listen, that's what Satan says. But God looks at the heart. Aren't you repentant of the sin? Have you asked for cleansing? Did you call on the Holy Spirit? Then resist the devil's lies and worship God. And then third, it's because of a failure to maintain consistent worship. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me for days without number. What an indictment against God's people. Many Christians are like the Israelites, showing up at a worship service once every few weeks. You took the first drink of living water and rebirth occurred. And then you turned away from the fountain. Look at verses in Jeremiah, verses chapter 2, verses 19 to 32. And let's see that verse in its context. Your own wickedness, verse 19, will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. And the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of God of hosts. For of old I have broken your yoke and burst your bonds. And you said, I will not transgress. When on every high hill and under every green tree you lay down playing the harlot. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? For though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. How can you see I am not polluted? How can you say I'm not polluted? I have not gone after the Baals. See your way in the valley. Know what you've done. You're a swift dromedary breaking loose in her ways. A wild donkey used to the wilderness that sniffs at the wind in her desire. In her time of mating, who can turn her away? All those who seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they will find her. Withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, there is no hope. Not, no, for I have loved aliens, and after them I will go. As the thief is ashamed when he's found out, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. For they have turned their back on me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. But where are your gods that you've made for yourselves? Let them arise if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods. Oh, Judah, why will you plead with me? You've all transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I've chastened your children. They receive no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness? Why do your people say, we are lords, we will come no more to you? And here's that context is the verse that I began with. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. The people neglected God for days on end, pursuing their own pleasures. Verse 35 is the worst of all. Yet you say, because I'm innocent, surely his anger will turn from me. Behold, I will plead my case against you because you say, I have not sinned. If you don't worship God with all your mind and heart, little by little, neglect will creep in. Take the test of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the text. Here's the text. Here's the test. Do you come boldly and regularly in awareness of the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you aware of his holiness and as you approach him? Do you consistently draw nearer to God in full assurance of faith? Does your faith in Jesus draw you closer and closer into a more intimate relationship with God? Do you hold fast to the Lord without wavering? Is he the most important? Is he above all else in your life? And do you assemble together with other believers? Or do you regularly forsake the gathering? You think about that. You answer those questions, and you have a great day.